Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
And a very good afternoon right across the Triple M network and through the Triple M app with Kenty, Hoops, Gordy, Talis and Maroon. We do it thanks to our mates at King G. Company's quality. Quality is king. We're still going to do a little thing called I Call BS. John Bateman from the Raiders joins us and the boss, the chairman, Peter Volandis, will join us after 1 o'clock this afternoon as well. Right now, the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association, a busy, busy man, is on the phone. Clint Newton, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, guys.
Nice clear line that, mate. Hey, it was what was easier, just taking the ball up and getting smashed or being the CEO of the RLPA?
Oh, I think I would have preferred coming out off my own try line facing Brisbane back in the early 2000s, to be honest.
Hey, Clint, can I just check, because I've actually had a lot of people in and around the game asking me this, who actually pays the RLPA?
It's a really good question, Hoops. It often gets, there's a lot of misconceptions out there, so I'm glad you've asked it. So basically, what happens is all the revenue that comes into the game, and then we obviously negotiate the 29.5% for the players' share. So of that 29.5% that otherwise goes directly to players, we take some of that to run the RLPA, and then we also get $100,000 off each of the club's salary caps, which would otherwise then go to players to come into our operational costs. So, so effectively the players pay, pay for the operations of the RLPA.
Well, it sounds like that. Oh, I don't want to get it blue about it, Clint, but it actually sounds like it comes from the NRL because it just passes through the players.
No, but the players generate the revenue with the clubs, Paul.
Yeah, fair call.
So therefore, that's how it operates.
All right. So how this week you guys went and negotiated and you came up with an extra $5 million, was it? Went from 19.2 to 24.2 or something like that?
No, that's not what happened. It was at 12.4 and then we got it up to 19.2 and then we got to use the injury hardship fund top it up.
That was the extra little bit that you came out the other day from the injury hardship fund. Did that because that was a little bit of money that was delayed payment from the NRL, wasn't it?
No, the injury hardship fund gets the clubs make a contribution to that, quarterly. So it was just about bringing that up to square, and then that gets put into the overall amount, which equated to, ironically, equated to 2 months' salary.
Hey, Clint, how hard is it to get everybody on board? When I was on the Players Association as a young guy, you would sort of get all the players on side, then someone from the club would come over and say, well, that's not going to work because they had their own interests. But it looks like that they're like, you guys are getting the job done pretty quick, and everybody seems to be pulling in line.
Yeah, I think, Gordon, like historically, the game has operated too much in their own individual silos. And I think that's obviously been to the detriment of the game. I think, as the old saying goes, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I think everyone probably thought that they were doing the right thing at different stages. But we've got a really great opportunity now to reset, recalibrate and go again. And it's now about strategy and character is going to get us through the other side. But, yeah, it was difficult. But we've just got to change some of the conditioned thinking that's been operating within the game and across each of the stakeholder groups, for the betterment of the game.
Give us an insight into the negotiations, if you can, Clint. I've been speaking to a lot of players over the course of the week and officials as well, and sounds as though there's been some heated conversations and some tough conversations in a lot of those hookups.
Yeah, of course there is. I mean, everyone's really passionate about the game, and I think that's a testament to everyone's character. I think that's what's made it successful in the past, and that's what will make it successful in the future. And, like anything, you have to place yourself in uncomfortable situations. And, Peter Volandis and Todd Greenberg did that with a mass player call. And, there was some courageous conversations had, and but ultimately, everyone had an opportunity to be really open and honest and in a lot of ways demand transparency, which ultimately we've got now. So if we were all thinking this was going to be perfect, then that's simply unattainable and it's never going to happen. So, yes, it was necessary to have those tough conversations, but the players acted with the utmost professionalism throughout that period.
Clint, I want to know how long it would take the players, if you've had discussions already, to activate if the NRL says, right, boom, we're going into a quarantine, we're going to go inside the bubble, we're going to get the competition started again. How long until the players say, right, we're ready to go?
Well, it's all going to come down to how long we have off, right? So we've only literally had, what, 2 weeks off coming into this weekend. So that'll play a significant role in how long it'll take the players to get going. But, I mean, you would probably think, you know, between that 4 and 6 week mark, but again, depending on when they'd look to be reactivated. But that's why this period now, Paul, is so critical. It's about wrapping enough support around the players and enough structure to be able to ensure that they continue doing the things that they need to do, remain safe and healthy, so they don't obviously come in to a position where they might transmit the virus. But then also, it's not just about the physical, it's the mental side of it as well. And that's the next phase that we're working through now, is the whole athlete wellbeing.
But, all right, I get that from a player's point of view. But is there a sense of urgency here? Because if the game comes back, there's no idea how long they could continue playing. There might be another outbreak, or there might be a fresh spike in numbers or whatever, and the game might have to shut down again. I just wonder whether there's a sense that, look, guys, we don't want to waste too many weeks that we could be playing, where we're just basically doing 400s and a bit of, wrestling sessions and all the rest of it, when they could actually be back playing and earning their broadcast money, which I'm sure is in the players' favour.
Yeah, well, we've got a little bit of time, though, Paul. We've got those 2 months, right? And some players will spread it over a bit longer than 2 months. So we do have some time there. But I think the biggest risk we've got particularly relates to collision. So we're going to have to be in a position where players are, one, most probably checked and, have a clean bill of health, before they get integrated into a broader playing group. So the contact sessions, as, Gordy would well know, that becomes critical, because if you're going to expose players to arguably the highest collision sport in the world, outside of probably hockey, we're going to have to make sure they're ready to go, because the last thing we want is to have mass injuries because we haven't been properly prepared. But I agree, Paul, we have to strike a bit of a balance.
All right, Clint, good to catch up with you, mate. All the best over the next few weeks.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys.
Good on you, mate. Clint Newton joining us. He is the CEO of the Rugby League Players Association.